Please pray for me. I desire your prayers. Somebody gave the expression yesterday in their testimony, just because I love you. And I'm here just because I love Jesus. I'm sure that's why you're here too. At least someone was once talking to a little child, and they asked their children often, how much do you love daddy? How much do you love mommy? And they go like this, as far as they can reach their arms. And I think of my Jesus. I know y'all have heard this thought, maybe sitting written down, that how much did Jesus love us? And they picture him this much stretched out on the cross of Calvary. And I'm thankful for words of love, expressions of love, like the song we just heard. I just want to tell you, I love you. I believe the song was saying. What's the best way we can tell Jesus we love him? I know he loves to hear it. We're commanded to pray. He wants us to tell him we love him. But what's the best way we can tell him? With our deeds, by our life. Obedience, as we just heard. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How did God love the world? He gave. And we all know, being God's true saints, that we go all the way into sanctification and we go on growing still. We give him our all. We lay all on the altar, and that's why we're here today. I don't believe I'm holding anything back, but I've been praying to the Lord if there's anything that I'm holding back, that he would reveal it to me. I want to grow some more in the Lord. Amen. Some friends of ours entrusted us with some spiritual documents and some business documents. And in one of the business documents, it was to a certain island, a vacation spot. And he had put this on the internet, and he had written it in English, but then was putting it in there also for the Spanish-speaking people that they could avail themselves of it. So they handed it to us, since my wife and I both speak English and Spanish, and for us to review it. And what he had done, he had entered it into the computer on this certain program, and it had spit it out, translated into Spanish. Well, we found a lot of errors. The sentence structure was wrong. Some of the words were wrongly interpreted. And one of the phrases in there was that when you go to this certain vacation spot, you can have your shots, you know, your immunization shots. You can have your shots before you go there or after you get there. Well, the computer had made an error, and it put in there that when you go on this vacation spot, you can choose to get your bullet shots before you get there or after you get there. And I told this friend of ours that we labor in Juarez, Mexico now for 7 years, preaching the Word of God, and there have been many bullet shots going around. But if we were to tell anybody they could go there and they wanted to get their bullet shots before or afterwards, they would not want to go. And so there was one error, which is the subject today, in the spiritual documents. And it was translating this scripture right here that we've heard already, referenced here in this meeting, Matthew 23, it's Matthew 23, 24, Matthew 24 and verse 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." A very familiar scripture to us all. And so this friend of ours had written all this in, these friends of ours had written this in English, and they had entered into the computer, someone had, and it had spit out this way. Because the iniquity of, let me read the verse again. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall catch a cold." And because the word is cold in there, it says, resfriará. El amor de muchos se resfriará. And it means shall catch a cold. And when I thought of that, immediately the Lord spoke to me and asked me, "Tony, is your love catching a cold?" When we have a cold, we're not in our maximum health. Something, a virus is attacking our system. We're not able to function properly. We're not able, if you're a mother, you're not able to do it for your kids or your parents or your work. Whatever you do, you're lacking strength. You're lacking desire. You're lacking motivation. And so the question to us today is, has our love caught a cold? And you know, a cold is something very simple. It attacks you with a fever, and then you don't want to eat. Then you can get weak. And then it can get worse. It can go into other types of, a more stronger type of cold. They can get into your lungs, and some people have died of it. And so the question is, has your love caught a cold? Isn't it wonderful if we have a spiritual cold, if our love has caught a cold today, that we have come to the right place? They're cooking that chicken soup for us, spiritual chicken soup, and we're getting... When you have a cold, you have a fever, you're to drink a lot of fluids. The water of life is coming down. It's gushing up in our hearts, springing up. I'm thankful for that. We're getting all the vitamins, amen, especially that vitamin C from the Word of God. I'm thankful for all those spiritual vitamins that have been handed to me, and I'm feeling stronger in the Lord, amen. Thank the Lord. And so, has your love caught a cold, a spiritual cold? Do you feel it weakening? Do you not have that same zeal and desire to do the things that you were doing before? May the Lord help us today. we've heard about the commandments of the Lord and how we are no longer under the old law. We're under the New Testament. It's no longer the commandments written on stone, but written on our heart. The heart of stone has been taken out. We've been given a heart of flesh. Amen. Thank the Lord. And those of us that are sanctified, we don't just read the Word of God and feel moved to do it. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we obey that too. Amen. Thank the Lord. But there are commandments. We're not all under the old commandments. God wrote those first commandments, and it just simply was an expression of who He is. So when the law was fulfilled and taken out of the way, it didn't take away the expression of who God is. He still doesn't like murder. He still doesn't like gossip, false witness. He still doesn't like adultery, fornication, and so forth. But I'm thankful that He has made me a partaker of His divine nature. He's made you, if you're His child, He's made you a partaker of His divine nature. And so we no longer do commandments because we're forced to or coerced. We do it because we love the Lord. Amen? And that's what Jesus came to tell us here, and I just love this. I love the fact that you love to do the commandments of the Lord. Nobody has to tell you. We have to be stirred up. We have to be reminded. But nobody has to tell us to keep His commandments, because the Word of God tells us, the new nature tells us, that's the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. Thank the Lord. But we're going to be stirred up and reminded a little bit today. May the Lord help us. John, the Gospel according to John. John chapter 13, verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you," Jesus the Lord said. Look at it, a new commandment. But you say, but it already existed in the Old Testament. It was new in the sense that it went further than that kind of love. Because when we become a partaker of the divine nature, it takes us all the way with the Lord. Nothing being held back. "And a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." As a chicken loves her chicks, or as a mother loves her children, that's a great, pretty, they've sacrificed themselves for them. Mothers have gone to the extent, a man in love with a woman has even died for her at times. "That ye love one another as I have loved you," said Jesus. "That ye also love one another." That included His death on Calvary's cross. He didn't die for one person. He died for the whole world. So it also included His life. Everything that He lived. He sacrificed everything to the very last drop of His strength. Last drop of His sweat. And last drop of His blood. That precious blood. Glory to God. Precious blood. I'm so thankful for that precious blood. So we're commanded that we love one another as He has loved us. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another." It's one of the first verses I learned when I was growing up. I did not have the privilege of growing up in a home that had a lot of light, was raised Catholic. And then at age 11, I was stealing the grapes from a 90-year-old black man. It's a long story. I won't tell the whole story. He didn't treat me wrong. He hired me to work in his garden, and I'd see him reading the Bible and singing spiritual songs, and I started reading the Bible as a result at age 11. So I'm now 46 years old. All that time I've been reading the Bible almost every day. I can't say every day. I've failed and come short sometimes, but almost every day reading the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter. But let's go to what I wanted to say there is that to me, the proof that there is a God, there is a Savior, that there is a Holy Spirit is the love that I felt from those people, from those that were justified in Christ. Really, and that's still the proof that I have today that we're not just here like when a president speaks and a lot of people gather or for like a party or a concert. We're here because of the love of God in our hearts. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another, or if you love one another. If we love one another, we can be keeping all the do's and don'ts, but if we don't love one another, we're missing the greatest point of it all. If we have the Holy Spirit, automatically, one of the first fruit in line there is love. This type of love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for that. It comes automatic in our hearts. We do have to nurture it. Has to be stirred up. But thank the Lord, it is an automatic thing. If we are not walking in the flesh, if we are walking in the Spirit. It says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's the whole proof. The proof's in the pudding, as they say. That's the proof of a real love. We could say it. We can do even a lot of things. But are we doing His commandments? The New Testament commandments. Amen? Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to them. You want more of Jesus in your life? You want a clear vision of the church, a clear vision of what His will is? Keep His commandments. 21, verse 21, we're in the gospel according to John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments, let's go over to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. One of the commandments to get in the Holy Spirit is surrendering our all. That's the point of sanctification. Yielding our all to Him. If we obey what that means, lay on the altar, consecrate it all, we keep that command, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come and be in us. Verse 24, he that loveth me not, if we're saying today that we love Him, but we're not keeping His word, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. I read a story in this little booklet. It's called, I think, Moments Together or Moments with Each Other. And it told a story about a soldier called John Blanchard. John Blanchard loved to read. And so he went to a library and found a special book. And he started reading it on a special topic. And he enjoyed reading the book, but what he enjoyed reading the most was the side notes. Somebody had owned the book previously, and they had in their own handwriting written side notes, comments on what they were reading. And he was so impressed because right there on the side of the pages was the heart of this person being revealed. It was a woman, her tenderness, her love, her depth, and her commitment. And so many things were revealed to her, about her, to him. And he wondered, does this woman it still exists? Is she still alive? So he turned to the front, and sure enough, there was her name, Hollis Maynell. And so he did some research and found her name or address, wrote to her. And surprisingly, the letter came back. And he didn't know her age. He didn't know anything. They started writing to one another and communicating with one another, communicating. And this went on for about 13 months until obviously he fell in love with her. And they decided to meet at a certain train station. And she said, before that, he said, I would like for you to send me a photo of yourself so I can know who you are, see your face. And she goes, no, not yet. Okay, so I want you to see me. Okay, so they agreed on that. He was totally in love with this woman, with her inside, because he hadn't seen her, who she was, her personality, her inner being. So he went, he told her, this is how you will know me. You will know me by the woman that has the rose in her lapel. Yeah, okay, okay, okay. So he was so excited. And he got there first, and he was waiting for her. And while he was waiting for her, there came up in the distance a gorgeous, beautiful woman. She had blue eyes and beautiful long hair, and she was dressed in a light green color, and she just looked like a flower in springtime, it says in this book. And his eyes focused on her. And he said, "Is that her?" And all of a sudden, he realized that there was no rose there. So he got a grip of himself. And as soon as that woman passed, there was another woman that came up front with the rose in her lapel. She was graying. She had a few wrinkles on her face. She wasn't moving very fast. And his heart just dropped. And he remembered, that's who I have fallen in love with. That's who I want. And he reached out his hand, shook her hand, and said, "You must be Hollis Maynell. I'm John Blanchard." As he swallowed in the disappointment. And she said, "Honey, I don't know what this is all about. But that woman that just passed me, she told me to put this rose in my lapel. But she said that if you were to ask me out," he told her, I want to take you out to eat, he told her. "She said that if you asked me out to eat, that I were to tell you that she's waiting for you in the restaurant." Amen. And so, you know, there are a lot about it. When we think of commandments, they don't look very attractive, do they? They don't come to us attractive. It's not attractive to clean the bathroom, is it? It's not attractive to clean up after people have cooked. Mothers, it's not attractive to wash underwear, stinky socks. It's not always attractive to read the Word of God when you have so much to do. You have to make time for it. It's not always attractive to be in the meeting when you're running behind in your schedule of work, maybe, and you could catch up with 2 more hours and miss the service. Doesn't look very attractive, does it? It's unattractive to you when you are being tempted and there's something that's calling you, but there's Jesus before you. You know what the Word of God says? We are all familiar with these scriptures. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. It tells us in Isaiah, I'm not going to read them, I'm just going to say a few of the verses. Isaiah 52, verses 3 to 15, also Isaiah 53, verse 14. It says these phrases in there. That Jesus, he was despised, rejected, his visage was so marred more than any man, and we esteemed him not. You know, when Jesus came to me in the beginning, he didn't come very attractive. He came inside of an old 90-year-old black man. The outside didn't look attractive, but there was something in him. The first real Christian that I met, he didn't have the light that you and I have now, but he was walking in all of the light that he had. And praise the Lord that he was. I'm so thankful for him. Yes. He has a great reward in heaven. I'm here because of him. He didn't look very attractive, and the things that he did didn't look very attractive, but I fell in love with that divine nature in him. He worshiped the Lord. He praised him. He sang songs of thanksgiving to him. He read the Bible. I see him sitting in his porch reading the Bible. I fell in love with that divine nature in him. I fell in love with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, not knowing who I was falling in love with. Just like John Blanchard did not know who he was falling in love with. You've all seen, maybe you haven't, but you've seen the pictures of oysters. They're not very attractive, are they? They're very ugly on the outside. They have stuff growing on them, and they're not all attractive. But those that are hunting for pearls, that dive into the sea, those that cultivate them and grow them, they know what can come out of them. Pearls. I've been to these places where they display pearls. I thought they were always white. Some are blue and red and all different colors, sizes, and shapes. But it comes out of one of the most unattractive things that you've ever seen. And they're so expensive. I'm not going to go into what causes that pearl. I'm sure most of y'all know. But I'm thankful that we have found the pearl of great price, which to me is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the pearl of great price. Even as John Blanchard fell in love with Hollis Maynell. He fell in love with her inside. And he was ready to settle for what was on the outside that didn't look so pretty because of what was in the inside. But praise the Lord, there was something beautiful on the outside too. Amen? You know, there's a beauty on the outside too, the thing of the Lord. Yes, there is. But most of the beauty is in the inside. On that day when we see Jesus, whatever we're going to see, I believe we'll see the complete beauty then. I believe so. And we will fall down in worship. We'll be like John Blanchard was, his breath went away when he saw a beautiful woman. Jesus is more beautiful than any woman. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a verse. And there's a verse in Hebrews 4:7 that says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. We're like children. He's telling us what to do. And if we will hear his voice and obey him and keep his commandment, there's blessing in it. If we don't, there is an eternal hell waiting for us, where we'll be cast in. Why did I lie so much? It will be eternal torment. I don't even want to think about it. If you will hear his voice today, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. There was a woman that had gone in her vehicle. And she was riding in the dark, got on the interstate, was going. And all of a sudden, a trucker came behind her with his lights, 18-wheeler. And a few minutes later, he started honking the horn, beep, 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 at her. And he goes, "Oh, how rude." She goes, "How rude." So just sped up some more. And he sped up behind her again, and he honked some more. She goes, "Oh, these 18-wheelers are so rude." And she got out of the way. And then he got behind her. And he kept on honking and honking and was right behind her and like trying to run her off the road. And she sped up some more. Finally, this kept on for a while, and she kept on not paying attention to him, not heeding. She was hardening her heart. She was ready to call the police on this 18-wheeler, but she was so nervous that she ended up running off the road, and he drove right behind her. And she thought, "He's going to get out and kill me. He's going to kill me. Oh, no, no, no." And all of a sudden, he gets out, and sure enough, he runs toward her. He goes, "Oh, no, 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 no." He opens the back door, and he pulls out a guy that is holding a knife that was in the back seat. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. All of a sudden, her attitude changed towards this trucker. She was so thankful. The very man that was trying to save her life was the very one that she was trying to ignore and get us away from as far as she could. She had wrong feelings to him, bitter feelings, angry feelings. Do we find that in our hearts today towards the word of the Lord, the servants of the Lord, God's people, that remind us of what's right and we just don't want to hear it? This word of God is what will save your life. I'm talking about spiritual life, your soul, from being cast into eternal hell and darkness. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Have you come in with a hard heart? Ask the Lord to soften your heart. Come to the altar today. Don't wait until too late. This might be the only time that the Lord will speak to you this way. You might get so hard that you will not hear his voice anymore. Harden not your heart. I was thinking of different aspects of the commandments of God. I'm not going to go to the verses, but I wrote down a few to go quickly. Things that you might not think of as commandments, but it's a command. It's the word. All scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it is the command of the Lord for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 is one of them. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forsake it. You know, we might go, "Oh, well, I might miss one or two." But you know, that's how forsaking begins. Pretty soon your heart gets hard. That happened to me when I was growing up. Meeting in this home fellowship group that I was a part of growing up. the fellowship of this 90-year-old black man. I went to work for McDonald's. To make a long story short, I asked them that I did not want to work on Sunday and Wednesday. The manager put me, after a month working there, on Sundays. And I didn't want to say anything because we needed the money. We were poor, and I was helping my mother, a widowed woman. So they put me on Sundays, and I didn't say anything. And I did not want to miss the meeting, the worship service, and I did. And I went on for a whole month, and then it went on for 2 months. And I started getting feeling like the desire wasn't there to be in the meeting anymore. But thank the Lord that one of the saints from that fellowship, home fellowship, wrote me a letter and said, "We miss you. We miss your part in the meeting. We would like to see you back, Tony. We love you." That woke me up. My love was catching a cold. That healed me of that cold. Amen. I said, I purposed then and there that I was going to go talk to my manager and tell her to please put me back on Sunday. When I talked to her, she told me, "Oh, I forgot. I'm so sorry. If you had told me sooner, I would have given you Sunday off." Don't be afraid to ask for time off from your work. You put the Lord first. Put the Lord first. Life is too short. One day your body will be in the grave, and where will your soul be? Are we showing him that we love him by keeping his commandments? One of the commandments of the Word of God is not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Growing up, when I first read this, I said, wow, I won't be able to eat or do anything. But there are times when we come apart, we kneel down and have special time for the Lord, but we can always be praying in the Spirit. You can be praying in the shower, driving down the road. I am. May the Lord help us to always be praying in the Spirit. The devil doesn't like it. He'll stay away from you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the commandment of the Lord. Pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy 4:13. Give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. This was the exhortation of Paul the Apostle to his son in Christ who was preaching the Word of God. Give attendance. Attend to it. Pay it special attention. Don't neglect it. Give attendance to reading, exhortation. Keep on warning God's people. And to doctrine. Don't forget to teach the correct thing. Don't allow the devil to come with you with false doctrine. You reject all false teaching and doctrine. Get back to the Word of God. It's a commandment of the Lord for us. Give attendance to reading. You all remember when Michael Jackson died and when Princess Diana died. Those that kept up with her when she died and he died, they wrote this book, these biographies about him. You know that I read that they were sold out immediately. They were following them along. They worshipped them. They admired them. And when they died, they wanted to know all about them. Same thing with Elvis Presley. You know, there's somebody famous that has died. His name is Jesus. His autobiography is right here. Are you that interested in him? Or are you more interested in Michael Jackson, Princess Diana, Elvis Presley, or who knows the later ones that have died? When I was growing up, I was very close to my grandmother. To keep it short, I'll just say that. I would run away sometimes to her home. We moved away from her, and she promised to write me. I promised to write to her, and I remember the first letter I got. What do y'all think I did with that first letter that I got from her? This was the grandmother that would put me between her and her grandmother, my grandmother and her, my grandfather. She goes, "Oh, you're so cute, you're so beautiful." I was a beautiful baby then, I don't know what happened, but anyway. "You're so cute, you're so beautiful." She loved me, she spoiled me and bought me all these things and would show me that she loved me by all her actions. Well, when I separated from her, you know, Jesus has gone. He's gone to prepare a place for us. We don't see him anymore. We do have the abiding comforter. But he left us a letter, his autobiography. When I would get the letter from my grandmother, what do you think that I did with it? Oh, I just put it in the corner, let it collect dust. And I said, "Oh, that's a letter from my grandmother. I'm going to put it in a frame and put it there in a special table and not read it." No, I couldn't wait to rip that letter open and start reading it. Every letter she sent me. In fact, I still have a lot of those letters. Most of them. We still have this letter here. It's a letter of love. Those people that read Michael Jackson's biography, Elvis Presley, Princess Diana, and they had some kind of relationship with that person. But you know what? We can have, we have the privilege of the Holy Spirit today to have a deep, heart-to-heart relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we do, we're going to want to read the Word of God. We're not going to let it there close. We're going to be reading it every day. We're going to be ripping it open and reading, because it's telling us how much He loves us, exhorting us, admonishing us. Words of love. These are words of love. They're words of correction too. And I'm thankful for it. How much do we love the Lord? Do we have a relationship with Him? If we don't have a relationship with Him, we're not going to want to read the Bible. So let's work on our relationship with Him in private. And there's going to have, you're going to have this desire, burning desire within you to read the Word of God. I'm not... I know most of you do. There might be some here that don't. Amen? Another commandment in Hebrews, 1 Timothy 3.13. 1 Timothy 3.13 says, be not weary in well-doing. That covers a whole spectrum of things, doesn't it? Be not weary in inviting your neighbors to the services. Don't be weary in submitting to your husband. Don't be weary in loving your wife as Jesus loved His wife, His bride, and give Himself for her. Don't be weary, children, and obey your parents. Don't be weary, pastors, you servants of the Lord, in spending time with your congregation and giving your life for them. Having a heart of compassion like Jesus when He saw the sheep, the multitudes, and He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Be not weary in well-doing. Hebrews 13:15. This is how we show that we love Him, by keeping His commandments. Hebrews 13:15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. We came from a... they didn't call themselves a denomination. They called themselves the Truth and the Way. Of course, I call it a sect now. The Lord brought us out of sectism. And I didn't bring any Babel stone with me, brothers and sisters. I left them all behind. Amen. Praise the Lord. I came to the true church of God. But it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Just in case you think that I'm a Pentecostal. No. The church that we left, you can hear a pin drop. You can hear the clock go, click, click, click. Because 15 minutes before the service, we were taught to reverence God and be quiet. We can learn something from that, saints. In the service, you'd look down like that and give your testimony, very humble about it. There was no shouts of praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, nothing like that. I didn't do that because I thought that was Pentecostalism. I thought that would, that had ended when Jesus died. I thought that was only in the Psalms. But Hebrews 13:15, if you've noticed lately, it's in the New Testament, amen? Let us offer the sacrifice. Why is it a sacrifice? Because we're so oriented in me, me, me. I want the honor. I want the glory. Amen. When somebody tells me, oh, I like that good food you cooked, I say, praise the Lord. He gave me the talent. Amen. We say, praise the Lord. Brother so-and-so, I loved your testimony. Praise the Lord. Him be the glory. I'm glad you received some benefit from it. It's the honor goes to the Lord. Amen. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I find when things are going all wrong and difficult and you feel overwhelmed, it's not easy to give praise. But that's why I admire Paul and Silas. Whipped and bleeding and torn, and they were praising the Lord in the darkness. Souls were saved because of it. We show the Lord we love Him by keeping that commandment. Continually offering up the sacrifice of praise. Amen. Thank the Lord. Glory to God. It tells us in Romans 15, verse 6, a New Testament verse. Romans 15, verse 6, that ye may with one mind. A lot of us could say, Brother Tony, I'm praising God with my mind. We should be. That ye may with one mind, oops, and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to, if it's in the heart, saints, if it's in the mind, He wants us to express it with the mouth. It's a commandment. If you love me, keep my commandment. Don't go say it's Brother Tony. No. Romans 15, verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him. Only those that have been serving the Lord 50 years? Laud him, all ye people. Laud means to give him honor, lift him up, say good things about him. The Lord want, and there's words that are established for our, already for us, brothers and sisters. If they're not in our vocabulary, let's start using them. I'm thankful. I hear praises all the time. I'm not condemning or criticizing anybody. I just sometimes wonder, do we love the Lord? Do we love him enough to continue to offer the sacrifice of praise? There's no better place to do it than in the congregation. If we don't do it here, we're surely not going to do it in Walmart. We're surely not going to do it at work. If we're ashamed to do it here, we're surely not going to do it elsewhere. Amen. If it's quiet here, we're surely not doing it elsewhere. Praise the Lord. James 13. Excuse me, no. Disregard that verse. Let's go to glory to God. There's a verse in the Old Testament. I know we're not under the Old Testament anymore, but the Old Testament was written by the Holy Spirit. And if they were to praise God then by the law, how much more are we? For those that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. How much more should we that are really in the spirit and really in the fullness of the truth be fulfilling this scripture? Psalms 106:48 says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, amen. Amen. Praise you, the Lord. Amen, brothers and sisters. I know that most of you know means so be it. Let it be then that way. I agree. It also means I agree with it. I agree with it. Let's go to, is this amen still a part of the New Testament teaching? Are we still supposed to use it? Look at all the epistles. Most of them end with amen. It says amen. Amen. We should be hearing amens among us, brothers and sisters, loudly. If you can, shout it out, say amen. Amen. If you can shout it out, go amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Tony doesn't tell you. The Word of God says it. Amen. Now, if this amen was happening or was being said or expressed in the New Testament, we should find it, right? There's lots of places, but here's one place that is very obvious. In the congregation, it should be done. If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul the Apostle wrote this under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God, no, that's not this verse, excuse me, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless, he's speaking about those speaking in other languages, apart from that language being spoken in the meeting, to keep silent, to not use that language there unless somebody can interpret for you. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless, you that are speaking in a language that nobody else will understand, else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, amen, at thy giving of thanks? So if Paul was saying you're hindering that amen because they don't understand you, obviously Paul was expecting some amens. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can go to the Epistle of John, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 7, talking about love. And we all know the term perfect love. It means when you're fully sanctified, perfect love. I'm thankful for that perfect love. It's not mine. my love is limited. It's perfect, complete, whole, because it comes from the Lord. If it's in us, brothers and sisters, we're going to have that perfect love. Amen? First Epistle of John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. Look at it this way. If we love God, we're going to keep His commandments. So if we're not keeping His commandments, it's saying we don't know God. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Or we might not know God in the fullness way that we should, in the fullest measure. I didn't say this. That's what the Word of God says. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So when we speak about love, we're saying another name for God. Love, that's God's name. I love that name, love. Love. Love is what has healed us. Love is what has made us whole. I thank the Lord for love. Love is what it's all about. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one for another. In this, going back to 1 John 4, 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into this world, that we might live through Him. That's how we're able to love this way. We live through Him. His love is expressed through us. We're only vessels. His love flows through us. If we've surrendered all to Him, His love flows through us. And I'm thankful for that. Verse 10, herein is love, not that ye love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Praise the Lord for that holy life. Life given, spotless life without sin, and then the blood, and the resurrection, and His interceding, and His soon to come coming back again. That's what saves us. Verse 11, beloved, if God, He was the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God dwells in us and His love is perfected in us. I usually think about it the other way around. It's a fruit of it, but here it's saying it the other way around. Interesting, isn't it? Let's go to Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. It's talking about the perfect love, going on to perfection. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment, 3. And this will we do if God permit. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection. Those of you that are older saints, I've heard this told by one of the saints, and I'm sure some minister among the saints told it years back before I was here. So I'd like to repeat it again. I really have enjoyed this illustration. There was a family that were going on a cruise ship. They're a very poor family. They really scrimped and saved to pay for the passage on the ship to go to a certain place. They got on the ship, and they didn't have enough money to buy the meals in the ship, so they carried a little picnic basket, and they didn't have a whole lot of food even. So they had little sandwiches and crackers and a little bit of fruit, very little in there. And it was a large family, a mom and dad with a lot of parents with a lot of children, and so they would eat only a little bit. And they'd walk by, there were several levels in the ship, and they'd walk by and they'd see the buffets that were on the ship, you know, shrimp and caviar and lobster and for those of you that like pizza and, you know, ice cream and everything that you could possibly want. It was on there. And they just looked at it with desire, and they'd go by and they'd go to the room and eat their little crackers and the little scrawny food that they had. Well, they went through this for I don't know how many days in the cruise ship. As they were leaving the ship, the dad decided to ask if they were able to do this again in the future, how much the meals cost. And the attendant said, oh, when you bought the ticket, it included the meals. They were going, what? They're already onboarding the ship. Oh, no, they were thinking. That's why many, not the world of today, nominal Christianity is this way. I've seen it in Juarez, Mexico, where we labored. We pray for people. They cry and they weep, and the Lord delivers them from alcoholism. Sometimes a week, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes a month. But sometimes they go back. He delivers them from prostituting themselves. Many women, many men. He's delivered some of them, and they've gone back. Not everybody, but I wonder, why have they gone back? They haven't gone on to perfection. They repented. They did the first work, but they didn't seek for more power. That's when the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, justified, as we all know, the Spirit is with us. It's like when you're dating. At least my wife and I, we did hold hands. Forgive us if we did that, and the saints don't do that, but we did. And I was with my wife. I didn't know her intimately in the way that I shouldn't, but she was with me. Amen? But when we got married, she moved in with me. Amen? Yeah. She moved into my home with me in a more intimate way. When we're saved or justified, as we all know, there might be children here that don't know this. There might be visitors that don't know this. I didn't know it. I thought when I was saved, I'd get the Holy Spirit, and I taught it. I taught that you get the Holy Spirit in your heart when you are saved. The Word of God says contrary. It says that when you are saved, the Holy Spirit is all over the world right now. Even with the prostitute, he's dealing with her. He's with her, convicting her of sin if she wants to be. And so the Holy Spirit, when you're saved, he walks with you. He's holding your hand. He's also working your heart, but he's not abiding there continually. It's not a constant abiding. But when you are sanctified or you go on, usually it's when you're kneeling down, sometimes crying, and you give your all, yield your all, surrender your all. Ask the Lord to purify you fully. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit enters you. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit shall be with you and He shall be in you. So this is what it's talking about. These people that we've seen saved, and maybe some here that have been saved, you have the Holy Spirit with you, but maybe the reason you go back in weakness when you're tempted, those that are saved should not be sinning. You have power to not sin. But maybe the reason you fall and sin again, it's very obvious because you don't have the inward power to not sin. The abiding comforter. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us go on to perfection. And it says here, to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Dead works. One translation of the Bible said cold formalism. I hadn't thought about it that way. Being formal. Just going through a routine and you really don't mean it from the heart. Oh, may the Lord save us from that, brothers and sisters. It's a dead work. If we just do it because we have to, it's a dead work. If we do it because it's expected, it's a dead work. If we do it to please mom or dad or aunt, whoever that's been in serving the Lord for our family for 5 generations, I'm doing it to please the family. It's a dead work. Do it to please Jesus. Do it because the Holy Spirit is moving you to do it. Do it because you love the Lord. Right. Amen? Amen? But it also, I thought about this way also, repentance from dead works. Obviously, to lie causes a lot of trouble and causes death. To steal, to hate, adultery, fornication, adultery, witchcraft, coveting, all of those things are dead works. Amen? Anything that has possession of your soul, if you're a slave to anything like a vice, alcoholism or drugs or alcohol or whatever it might be, it's a dead work. And if you repent from it, it's good. We need to. But it tells us you shouldn't have to keep on repenting of it tomorrow and the day after tomorrow because you should have already gotten the victory over it. Amen? It would be similar to this. When you first get married, some of you have the privilege years later of maybe collecting enough money to buy a piece of land and maybe even building a house. What if you were to pay somebody to build your house and you'd come to the plot of land, they'd leveled it out and they'd done everything and then put it down the plumbing. Now they're putting the foundation that already laid down the foundation the first week. And you come to visit your work in progress, your home being built, and you find them breaking the foundation again. What's happening? Oh, we don't like the way this one is. It's not quite right. We're going to... Wait a minute. Why? It seemed to be okay. Well, it had a crack in it and... Oh, it has a crack. Yes, and you have to... Okay, so you break it down again. Just imagine this keeps on happening every week. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. We shouldn't have to repent again from something if we already quit doing it and we repented of it. If you're not doing it anymore, you shouldn't have to repent of it, amen? But if you don't have the power, if you haven't gone unto perfection, this is where we might find ourselves today. Repenting over and over and over and over. No, the Lord wants... All you're eating is eating these little crackers, and this little food, when there's a buffet for you. Amen? There's much more. There's more power than that. You're just settling for a little bit of power. There could be an abiding power in your heart to help you overcome. Amen? I'm thankful for that abiding power. The power of the Holy Spirit come down in my heart. He can come down in your heart today if you're willing to consecrate your all to Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Also, it says... faith toward God. We shouldn't have to reestablish again. The Lord exists. That Jesus exists. Once we believe that, we believe it. We trust Him in our finances. We trust Him in our healing. May the Lord help that. Help us that that could be established. Amen. Of doctrines of baptisms. There's many ways of looking at this. There was the ritual washings in the Old Testament. He could be referring to that. But I believe it also refers to the New Testament. The two baptisms. The physical baptism when you put in the water after you've shown by your life that you've died. We all know the baptism means a death and then a burial. You're put into water and then a resurrection. It symbolizes that. There's that resurrection. There's that baptism. And then there's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Once we do this once, you don't have to be baptized every week. Unless you fail and go away, you might want to be baptized again. Unless you fall away and the Holy Spirit leaves you, well, then you need to be re-baptized again. But we as saints don't need to be re-baptized again. Once we have one infilling, that is it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Although the Lord, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that visits us in special ways from time to time. Amen. And it goes on. I'm not going to go into all of them. But I'd like to focus on the last one. Eternal judgment. How can this apply to us today? How do we leave that the idea of judgment behind? Well, when I read the Word of God, it judges me. When I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror in my house, I judge myself. I need to shave here. I need to comb my hair. I judge myself. And I can look at it and leave. And then somebody else is going to judge me. Oh, they don't care. Look how messy they are. But if I judge myself, nobody's going to say, oh, they're combed. I judged myself and I corrected it, right? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. If we are sitting under the sound of the gospel, we have been justified, sanctified. We're being judged daily. When we read the Bible, we're being judged daily. We don't need to worry about the future judgment. Amen? Right. Not in that way. We're going to get our rewards. Whew, praise the Lord. But we're under the blood. I like what Brother Leslie said. The blood is cleansing us continually and giving us power continually, separating us from sin continually. Praise the Lord. Amen. But there is an eternal judgment. If we are saved and sanctified, we don't need for somebody to reestablish in our heart that there's an eternal judgment. We know it. And we live in the fear of the Lord of it. Amen? There is a little story about something that happened. A young woman was speeding and she didn't keep the commandment of the speed limit. She was speeding beyond it. She was going somewhere and had to get there in time, was speeding. The policeman stopped her and gave her a speeding ticket. And so she went before the judge. And lo and behold... her dad was a judge, and she came to stand before her own dad. She felt a little embarrassed, and there were a few people there that knew that that was her dad. She was a little bit embarrassed, but they thought, oh, she's the judge's daughter. He's going to let her off. The ones that were waiting for their turn, they were shocked because the judge gave her the steepest penalty, the highest fine for speeding. They were like that. Wow, he's a mean dad. And so... he does something shocking next. He gets off from where he's judging. I'll be back in a second. Goes to the window over there and pays for the debt of the daughter. Praise the Lord. Woo! Praise the Lord. Why are you and I not afraid of the judgment today if we're saints? Because we have a father. We're hearing about adoption. We've been adopted. God's our father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus is our brother. Those three are one God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus is going to sit on the throne and judge. God the Father will judge in Him and through Him. Amen? I'm thankful that He's my Father. And you know, He gave the world the steepest penalty. Everyone that has sinned will have to be cast into the lake of fire. Ah! Oh, it's a horrible place. It's the steepest penalty. Do you want to be adopted in a little bit? If he's your father, he's going to give you the steepest penalty. You're convicted of being a sinner. You come short. You've fallen short of the glory of God. But God Almighty came down in Christ. God the Father. Emmanuel, God with us. God was manifest in the flesh. God the Father came down in Christ the Son. This was God in the flesh. He left his throne of judgment, the one that's going to judge us. And he went to the cross of Calvary. You know that the punishment for the highest crime, the Romans, according to the law of God too, they would hang you on the cross. That was the worst punishment that you'd get. Jesus got down from the throne. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for him. And he paid the price. Not with money, not with silver and gold, but with precious blood are we redeemed. Praise the Lord. How many are thankful? Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful. Woo! Praise the Lord. Woo! Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. I love that little story. I don't have to fear the judge. Are you fearing the judge? Come and be saved. Are you fearing the judge? Come and be sanctified. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sanctification, when I first came to the saints, although I taught about sanctification, I was a minister from age 20. And then I left that ministry, still in that fellowship, because I stepped down. I didn't like what was happening in the ministry. I didn't want to be a part of it, but I did not leave the fellowship. I didn't leave it until 10 years later or 12 years later, which was in 2002. Those of you that don't know the story, we left that fellowship. We searched 150 denominations. So finally, the Lord sent us some saints sitting in a restaurant. That's why we're here today. We heard their prayer out loud. that's why we're here. I asked them questions. They told me they were a part of the Church of God. And long story, but that's a nutshell of it all. But I didn't understand the idea of the two separate works. Instant works. Just as you are saved instantly, you might not see it immediately, but you believe it by faith in your heart. You are sanctified instantly too. People might not see it instantly, but it's there if you believe, receive it by faith. Amen? I didn't understand that. I fought against it for some time. But in my teaching ministry there in Juarez, now for 7 years, I've grappled with how to express this to those uneducated people. How do you convey the idea of sanctification? I'm thankful that there are examples in nature. I was thinking about an anthill, and I've taught this before there in Juarez. An anthill. How many of you have struggled with ants in your home? Little ants, fire ants, or the big ants, and you try to kill them. Well, you throw down this in it and not that and all kinds of stuff, and they still keep on coming out. Recently, I learned you could pour boiling water, and that way you don't leave poison around, and it kills the ones on the top. But the ones still keep them coming out, but it weakens the whole colony. Well, you've all known with latest scientific inventions that they have these baits, this medicine, this poison that they can get and take into the colony, and they'll take it to the queen ant, and they'll kill the queen ant, and then it weakens the colony, and they eventually die. The whole colony will die. Well, if you allow me to compare the queen ant to our carnal nature, amen? As long as the carnal nature is there, it's going to keep on producing those things that we are fighting against. Amen? And while they might not be on the surface, you know, we're killing them, our life is clean. But there's still something there that's producing something that we're struggling against. Amen? Do you feel that today? You need to get rid of that queen ant. There's a poison. The blood of Jesus. It'll strangle her, kill her. And you get it at the point of sanctification. Amen? Come to the altar, give your all. You want to do away with the queen ant? Come and crucify her today. Amen? They'll take that food to the queen ant and she'll die. That queen ant lives, I forget, 15, 16, 17 years. I lost track. And she lays thousands of, if not millions, I forgot how many eggs. Thousands and thousands of eggs in her lifetime. So you can keep on putting all the poison you want as long as you don't kill her. Justification, I've expressed to them, is like killing all the ants on the surface. Amen? It doesn't all agree exactly, but it's just an example that they can comprehend in their mind. It's killing all. There's no more lying. There's no more stealing. You're living a holy life. Amen? But there's still something inside that's going to produce something if you don't go on to perfection. You're going to find yourself laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. It might take you so far that you might need to, the Holy Spirit leaves you, you might need to come back again and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you again. Amen? You're going to start fearing again the judgment because you've sinned. Amen? Justification, killing all the ants on the surface. Sanctification, heart purity, going to the very depth of the thing. Amen? When I was in Baja California, in my ministry there, as in we sold everything, you did not get married, I sold everything. Just like the rich young ruler, we actually fulfilled that. I did it. I left my job, sold my car, sold everything, lived with nothing. I actually fulfilled it. Amen? Thinking that that was what I was supposed to do. They take that literally. Anyway, I did that for 10 years and lived by faith for 10 years. Never asked for money, never took up a collection. The Lord gave me everything just like He's doing it. My wife and I have now been living by faith without working for somebody, without a paycheck that's been given to us, almost going in 3 years now under the true doctrine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for those of you who have moved to give. Thank you, Father. We are thankful for those that the Lord has used in those 3 years. We appreciate your sacrifice, saints. Anyway, getting back to my ministry at age 23, it was age 27, I think. I was laboring in Baja California, on that little strip down along that border of Chula Vista, California. We went to a little town called Tecate. We were dealing with a man that was hearing the word of God, but he was so busy he couldn't come to the meetings. He was a poor man, and he would stand in mud, red clay, and mix the clay like this. And then they put it in a mold and so forth to make the red bricks. And so we decided, well, he wasn't hearing the word of God because he couldn't come, so we'd go preach it, well, work with him. So we went there, we rolled up our sleeves of our pants and took off our shoes. And you know that Jesus loves you, that he died for you on the cross of Calvary? Splat! And so we'd be preaching the word of God. Anyway, I got a lesson out of that. I compare this in Juarez, Mexico, to the mixing. That's God working with us, pouring the water, softening us. Amen. The word of God being planted there. And then being put in the mold. Let's call that justification. Amen. You've been shaped. You're molded. You're no longer the same. You've been changed. You're born again. You're a new creation in Christ. I mean, all things have passed away. You're in a mold. But they wouldn't leave it there. You know why? Because if you build a house with that clay like that, and it rains like this, it'll all melt and dissolve away. It won't last very long. Amen? So it has to have a second distinct work done to it. Amen? A second distinct instantaneous work done to it. Amen? And so they take it from there, let it dry in the sun, and then we take it from there, and then he had like a kiln. It's a little adobe, you've seen those Indian things, and they put them in there. They were bigger, though. They were big. And they had a lot of them. We put them in there until they were dry, and then it would fire it. Something would happen there. There'd be a transformation, a sanctification, a second work of grace. Amen? Yeah. And that brick was no longer like it was before. You could throw rocks at it. It doesn't break. Amen? Yeah. It's stronger. It can withhold more. It's got more power to it. Amen? And that's the analogy that I've used in Juarez, Mexico to express sanctification. The mold, put in the mold, that's the first step. Justification. The second distinct, separate work, taken out of the mold and put in the fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit coming down and cleansing, purifying the heart, taking out the carnal nature. We still have humanity. I express them. We get tired. We feel tempted. The flesh. Our human nature. But the carnal nature, the inclination to sin that we received through Adam and Eve is cleansed out. And we're brought back to where Adam and Eve were, in a sense, before they sinned. We're brought to the place where Jesus was when he walked here on earth. He didn't have the carnal nature. Amen? That's why he did not sin. Amen? That's why we can live without sin. We have the capacity to sin. I have my eye to sin, my hands to sin. But we don't have to sin because we have power over sin. We're no longer slaves to sin. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. That word going on to perfection is the word in the original language. The word is tel-i-otase, which means complete or consummator, being consumed, finished. Amen. So let us go on to completion. When we finished with that brick, it was complete. Now, its function was not complete. It was going to be taken and used for a home or for something else. When we're sanctified, that doesn't end everything. God's going to use us in different ways. So we're going to continue to grow in grace, and He's going to use us, but it brings us to a more powerful level. Amen? Praise the Lord for sanctification. Perfect love. We're talking about love. Another expression that the old saints and ministers used to use for sanctification is perfect love. We have the perfect love in us. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit, and that produces the first work through the Holy Spirit is perfect love. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us. Let's go to, praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Praise the Lord. Sanctification. Herein is a love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Saints, we should not be afraid to go out and testify of Jesus. We should not be afraid to stand up in this meeting and testify. We should not be afraid to lead out in prayer. We should not be afraid to sing, if the Lord has given us that talent, of course. And even if he hasn't, my wife get up in here and sing. We don't have that talent, man. We should not be afraid. I want to mention one specific thing. We should not be afraid when people come to our meetings to be the first to go and say hello to them. You know, I've visited a sect church. We visited, and you know what happened when the meeting ended? They all stood around us, and they all, one by one, greeted us. We were like shocked. That was in the world, in what we call nominal Christianity. We who have the perfect love of God are afraid to be the first one to go say hello to that person that might be a newcomer. I know in a place like this, you might not know, we don't know who's new and who isn't all the time, but especially if you can detect that they're new and this is the first time, don't be afraid to go. You shouldn't be afraid. I shouldn't tell you. Perfect love casteth out fear. You know that person might never come back again if he feels that nobody, he didn't feel welcome. They might not come back again. Perfect love will cast out our fear of being the first one to say, "Hi, how are you doing? I haven't met you before. Welcome here. What is your name?" Something. Say something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's go to, still on this thought of greeting people, because they're not being afraid. Let's go to Matthew 5, verse 43. We read this over and over again. I'm just going to read it quickly. Praise the Lord. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and unjust. 46. We're in Matthew 5:46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? 47. And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? 48. Be ye therefore perfect or complete. Have this complete love in you. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is complete, whole, perfect. And if you salute only your brethren. May the Lord help us. May we have that perfect love. Salute means to greet. It's that important. Jesus specified it. This is talking about saluting those that have maybe offended you or whatever, but it goes to not only saluting your brethren, to saluting others also. May we welcome other saints. I'm thankful when we first came, there was a certain, many saints, but there was one that greeted us for the first 4 years, and she said, welcome, and then finally she said, you know what, you're part of the family, I don't need to do that anymore, but she still greets us, but she would always welcome us. And there were many here that said, Brother Tony, Sister Lisa, we're glad to see you here. Few, but we remember. Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to skip down. Lord had some more, but I'm going to... getting back to perfect love, and has your love caught a cold? Has your love caught a cold? 1 Corinthians 11. This is a commandment that many women shrink from. Maybe because it's of the difficulty of washing it, combing it. You're a busy woman and you'd rather have it short. But if you love me, keep my commandment. What are you talking about, Brother Tony? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. This ordinance includes the bread and the cup. It's not included here, but we call foot washing ordinance because it was done at the same time in John. But I would like for us to, if we have not noticed this before, if we're pretending it's not there, let's focus on it today. Keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Part of the ordinance, included in that ordinance, because it's attached to worship, was the hair for the men and the woman. Yes, it is. Let's go to verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even one as if she were shaven. Any woman that prays with her head uncovered, I'm going to cover my head here. Here's your head. Your head is not here, and your head is not here. Your head is not here. Your head is here, right? Amen? All this thing is your head. Okay, so what's supposed to cover the head? We all know that the Jewish women covered their head with a veil that was man-made. But you know, women, I'm so thankful. God has given you a veil that He specifically made in creation. He provided it for Eve. It's called the hair. Amen? Are you taking your hair, your veil, and making holes in it and cutting it off, permanent dyeing it, doing all you can to it to ruin it? You know, you're destroying your veil, your God-given gift. If your husband gave you a beautiful dress, would you make holes in it and cut it all up? I don't think so. Would you change the color of it? I don't think so. You would offend your husband, I think. If you love your husband, you would not do it. Amen? Verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. But if it be a shame for woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. He was referring to what the Jews and God's people at that time were. They knew the Old Testament. If you got a slave, you would shave off. If you were a Jew and got a slave, God allowed slavery at that time. To prove that you had taken her into your home, you'd shave off her head. And everybody that see that woman with her hair shaved, they'd know that she was a slave. I know the same women here do not want to be walking around with the mark of bondage, right? You want the mark of freedom, not bondage. He was referring to that. They would shave off their hair to show. Also, the Nazarites would shave off their hair at the end of the consecration to show that that had ended. We should be consecrated to the day we die, sisters and brothers. The men should not have long hair. The Holy Spirit will teach us men what is not long. Women, what is long? The Greek word simply means to have long hair, to let grow. If I have in my yard a tree that grows up to there, the height of the tabernacle here, the roof, but I keep it cut right here, and it grows, and I cut it again, and it grows, and I cut it. Am I letting it grow? I'm not letting it grow. The word there, long hair, means to let grow. In Spanish, it says it's a glory for a woman to let her hair grow. Check it out. It's in Reina Valera. It's a glory for a woman. So when I teach in Juarez, I don't have to explain it. I just say it says it's a glory for a woman to let her hair grow. It means you're cutting it, you're not letting it grow. Amen? You go, oh, Brother Tony, you're offending me. No, I don't want to offend you, sisters. I don't want to offend you, brothers. I love you. I know that there are many of you that are keeping this commandment. And when I see you, I go, praise the Lord. There's a few that remain that really are showing that they love the Lord by keeping this very important ordinance. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to conclude still on the same thought. Let's go to Acts. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. Just in case you'll go, Brother Tony's commanding us to this. No. I am exhorted to teach you the doctrine of God. Remember? Do you have a tendency to read in? Exhortation. I'm exhorting you and I'm giving you the doctrine. I'm doing my part. When I get off of here, whew, I'm done with it. You do what you want. You'll have to answer in the day of judgment. Amen? Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, this is Paul and Silas preaching the word of God, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden to the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, I would like to focus on they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. He didn't let them. In connection to the hair that I'm talking about, this applies to anything. They were preaching. You go, what's wrong with preaching away? If I want to preach in Marnock right now, what would keep me? If the Holy Spirit tells me not to, then I shouldn't at that moment, right? They were doing something good. The Holy Spirit will sometimes keep us from doing something good too. I want to wash the dishes, they're dirty. But the Holy Spirit say, no, I forbid you, go read your Bible. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know of a sister that we preached to in my third year in the ministry of the church that we left. I won't go to the long story, but we were preaching the word of God. We have not even taught on the subject of hair. And I noticed that she was letting her hair, her bangs grow out. They were like here, and then they were starting to get in her eyes. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it, but they were starting to grow after preaching to her for 2 months. She said, Brother Tony, I want to tell you something. I said, what? She said, you know, I was reading. I was not reading. I was, a few days ago, I was going to cut my bangs again, she said. And a few days before that, I had read 1 Corinthians 11 about the long hair. I didn't understand what it meant. But when I went to cut my bangs again, I couldn't do it, she said. I couldn't do it. Something hurt inside of me. Now, she had read about it, but that wasn't exactly what stopped her. The Holy Spirit forbade her. Oh, saints, if it's nothing for you, my sister, to cut off your hair, I exhort you to go get down on your knees and ask the Lord to help you, that the Holy Spirit will teach you why that veil is so important. Any woman that prayeth or prophesied with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. That the top head is Jesus. Second head is her husband. If she doesn't have a husband, it could be her pastor. It could be her dad. Oh, Lord, I thank the Lord for this perfect love. Has your love caught a cold? The Lord wants to heal it. Amen.